that I may speak to you may hear, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Two more degrees and we will be overturned. Two more degrees and we will be overturned. I'd like to pause for a moment and engage a bit in a bit of Ignatian practice. We did that yesterday at the conference last night. I'd like to really enter into today's gospel text, to be there in the boat, as it were, to imagine ourselves on that lake, that ordinary and momentous day 2,000 years ago, the hot summer air cooled by the clear water that surrounded the boat, the soft flapping of the water as ripples stirred by the gentle breeze lazily flop against the side of our boat. So let's enter in and see where it feels. And where it leads, rather. Feel free to close your eyes, if you please. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon, his brother Andrew, cast a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. We are those fishermen. Feel the wood of the gently rocking boat beneath your feet, the rough familiarity of the wet net in your hand. You draw your arm back, as you and your family have done for time out of mind. A strong, steady movement of your right arm sends the net swishing and spreading through the air. Ah, you know that sound and feeling so well. Splash. It lands in a perfect circle on the surface of the water. Over, you trust, the fish. The fish which are a gift from God, the manna from heaven, the quail thick in the Israelite camp. Sustenance, reliable sustenance, called to gain by your skill. Thank you, Lord, for my arms, my skills, my gifts. Thank you, Lord, for these fish that I have caught this day. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. His voice carries easily through the damp air. You hear it as a clarion call, your mind, your heart. Follow me. Follow me. And immediately we say, yes, Lord, we are aware of the issues caused occurring by man-made CO2 rising CO2 levels. We've been monitoring them for some time. We know the temperature rises at the poles. So we too are concerned about the early melting of the pack ice, so a lot of pack fat. The rising of sea levels already influencing some coastal communities. We too know that extreme weather events are becoming more commonplace and that the melting of the permafrost in Siberia and elsewhere is causing these areas to be carbon producers rather than carbon sinks as they were before, thus accelerating the process of global warming. So yes, Lord, we will of course follow you, but we have other concerns too. We need to gradually phase out the currently essential coal-fired power stations and find valuable, viable alternatives to aviation fuel sometime in the next few decades. After all, Lord, you know, you are aware these things are by no means simple. They take time. We can't just leap into the unknown. That would be irresponsible, wouldn't it? We can't just leave the boat, no. So yes, Lord, we will follow you, but that following will be phased in over the next, let's say, 3 to 4 decades. Okay? Please excuse me for conflating Jesus' call to the disciples to follow him, and indeed God's call to Jonah for the Ninevites to repent for the climate crisis currently under discussion at the COP26 conference in Glasgow, and our call as people of faith to be good stewards of God's creation. But I think there seem to be some notable similarities. There is an imperative to act in all of our readings and at COP26. The people of Nineveh did indeed need to change their ways. So God sends the admittedly somewhat unwilling prophet Jonah to proclaim that 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. Thank you for reading. So too, as we heard in the gospel reading, the time had come. The kingdom of God was near, and so it was time there also to repent. This urgency, this immediacy, is also heard in our reading from Hebrews. Thank you, Billy. The writer pulls images and quotations from the Jewish scriptures and from religious practices with which his readers would have been very familiar, showing that each is a hint, a shadow, a pointer, however oblique, towards God's great work of salvation. So to the prophecy of our worsening climate, 2 more degrees, and we should be overturned. It calls us to our duty of stewardship. In the Gospel and Old Testament readings, an alternative is available to the pending destruction wrought by any failure to respond to the call. The looming angst of the kingdom of God is near in the Gospel will be resolved if we repent and believe the good news. And although reluctant Jonah does not interpret himself, God has compassion on the Ninevites, so that they do not perish. So too it seems that if we act decisively and promptly, then much disaster can be avoided, can be averted, if we act. Thinking a moment, what are the disciples leaving of their nets, their livelihood, their ways of being to follow this itinerant preacher a colossal risk to take? Wasn't the Ninevites listening to an unknown prophet pounding the city streets to don sackcloth and ashes and sit in repentance a colossal risk to take? Is to leave the familiar and step into the perhaps even embrace the unknown always a colossal risk? Well, yes, it is. But Simon, Andrew, James, John, and indeed the Ninevites could do no other than to follow and to respond immediately. And of course, for disciples to step out of the boat, to step out of the familiar habits, is an act of faith. It's an act of faith that enabled these simple fishermen to become, as Peter wrote elsewhere, living stones that were built into a household of faith, 1 Peter 2, chapter 2, verse 7. It was an act of faith for the Ninevites to repent, to change, and in so doing, have their beloved city preserved by God. I wonder, thinking back to our little Ignatian exercise, when we hear the clarion calls of today's scripture, and indeed the climate, why are we so, me included, willing to close our ears or loudly deny, or so often prevaricate in a mockery of the disciples' immediate leaving of their nets? I wonder if it springs out of fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear that if we leave the boat, do something new, forgive our neighbour, take the bus, stop and help, turn down the heating, plant a tree, join a campaign, eat less meat, turn, repent, make a change, show more love, then we'll be stepping away from what we know into a strange and unfamiliar world through which we will be unable to navigate, where the familiar and comforting causes and effects will be gone, and we will feel lost. So we delay, and we explain, stay in the boat, master, just now. We'll get out later, when it's safe. Perhaps we have forgotten we're not simply told to follow, but to follow me, to follow him, to follow Jesus. We're not following some strange fancy of our own making. We are following our Lord, who calls us to repentance, to change, and to follow. So we can, with confidence, step out of the boat, make a change, make many changes, and follow him to a place no longer clouded by fear and doubt, but illuminated by confidence and faith. Thank you.